We are continuing tonight in our series on Let Us Pray. Let Us Pray. As you know, we have been talking a lot about prayer from the Scripture. We've been learning what God says about prayer. And if you have your Bibles, you can always open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. And in that middle of that Scripture, in the middle of those set of Scriptures is the Lord's Prayer. One day the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus answered them, and he said, "When you pray, say," or he said, "When you pray, pray in this manner." And he gave them some tools and some tips to teach them how it is that they should pray. And so we have been on a series for the last several weeks discussing about prayer and about how we learn about God's from God's word how to pray. How many of you have been learning a lot about God's word and about what he's saying about prayer, and there's been some real growth in you in your prayer life? Raise your hand. I want to see you. Yeah, praise God. I've talked to a few of you about that, and man, you've been encouraging me, saying God has been driving me deeper into his word and into prayer. And I think it's so important, man. This is important. This is one of the most important things that you can learn in your walk with the Lord, is how to pray. And so I'm excited because we've talked a little bit about this, and I believe that God is giving us seven keys in the Lord's Prayer. And you know, we've talked about some of these keys already, and also want to remind you and let you know that if you don't have it, but you go ahead and download the Victory Church app, the sermons that we have preached in here on prayer are now being available on the app. And so you can go on the app and you can look them up and listen to them. So if you've missed some of the previous messages, you can go to the Victory app and download thevictorychurch.com, and you can download and listen to the messages. Just look for Victory Youth, and you'll see there's several sermons there on prayer, and you can just go through all of them, and it won't take you long. They're only about 15-20 minutes long, each message, and so you can catch up if you haven't heard them all. So I'm trying not to go back and preach it all over again, but I want to encourage you. Seven keys in the Lord's Prayer, and those seven keys are this. And if you haven't already written this down, take this down. The first key is, "He is my Father, and He is holy. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." We talked about the name of God, who he is. And because of who he is, we know how to pray, because we know who God is, because he is God Father, he is Abba Father, he is Daddy God. Because of who he is, because of the name of Christ, because of the name that he has been given, because of the name that he is, because he is holy, because he is righteous, because he is Savior, because he is our shepherd. There's so many things. Because he is our healer. Because we know who he is, we know how to pray. He is our Father, and he is holy. Number two, "God is in charge and not me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We have to pray God's plans and his will in our life. We must declare that. God's ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. We must know that. The third key is, "God is my provider." And give us this day our daily bread. Verse 11, Matthew 6, 11. Give us this day our daily bread. God is our provider. And it's all about trust. We trust the Lord. We trust him with our lives, with our money, with our health, with our strength, with our family, with our school, with our wisdom, our strength. Everything comes from God. He is our provider. When you take on the responsibility to be providing for yourself, you're going to miss out. You're going to lose what God has got for you. He is our provider. And I love that scripture in Psalms chapter 34, verse 10. Remember, we read this. "Even the strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." One of my favorite scriptures. God desires to bless you. He is. So we pray for provision. Somebody say, "I'm going to pray for provision." All right. God is my provider. That's number three. Number four, point four here is forgiveness. And this is where we're going to dive in tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." So we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Listen, I believe that there's so much piled into this one sentence that God, we could spend weeks talking about it. But tonight I want to talk a little bit about repentance, about forgiveness, about forgiving others, and about the power that is available to us when we pray for forgiveness and when we release others from the bonds that we have kept, held them back in our own minds and our own hearts. God wants forgiveness to rule in our lives. Listen, God gave everything. He gave Jesus. He, in the beginning, Jesus, the plans were laid for Jesus to pay the price for our sins. And because he was the perfect lamb that was slain for us, today we are free. He has made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. But there is more to the story. God wants us to not only be forgiven, but he wants us to be those that forgive. If we want to be like God, we have to be a people who forgive. If you hold a grudge, if you, you know, you're bitter towards people, well, she wronged me, and so she deserves it. Well, I can't believe this one did, and I'm just going to be mad forever. That's because, you know, that's just the way it is. Or you've decided in your heart that you're not going to approach that person, or you're just going to not touch. You're just going to avoid that. Avoid those things. Avoid the contact with people. Avoid dealing with it. I'm telling you, man, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you even now about some of those things, about maybe some relationships or some things you've said or some actions you've done, I believe that God wants you to begin to be a forgiver. If you want to be like Christ, you got to be a forgiver. He was the ultimate forgiver. He forgave everything for you. How much more important is it for us to be forgivers as well? God wants us to forgive. So the first thing I want to talk about here under this particular subject, this point here in forgiveness, is this. We must live a repentant lifestyle. We must live a repentant lifestyle. Now, let me just talk a little bit about this, because a lot of times at church, and when we grew up in church, you know, we're like, you know, why are they always time, all the time calling altar calls for us to, you know, forgive and repent and grow? And, you know, we're supposed to, you know, isn't it just that God's grace is good enough to heal me from now until forever? Oh, yes, God's grace is powerful, and his healing work is good enough to heal our sins from now until forever. But that doesn't mean he's gonna that it's just gonna give it all to you right there. I'm telling you, there's gonna be bumps in the road. There's gonna be issues that you deal with. There's gonna be problems that you got to deal with. And I'm telling you, man, a repentant heart is a godly heart. A repentant heart is a godly heart. See, repentance is this. Listen to this. Write this down. Repentance is not about constantly apologizing to God for our repeated bad behavior. Repentance is not about constantly apologizing to God for our repeated bad behavior. It's about a constant transformation of our heart. It's about a constant transformation of our heart. Repentance is not about constantly apologizing. We just think, well, I'm sorry, God. I sinned again. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, God. And we kind of get in this rut of just, well, I'm just going to keep apologizing for God for the rest of my life. Listen, man, that is not God's will. It's not for you to live in condemnation and your sin and constantly having to apologize for all the, oh, well, I shouldn't have thought that, or I shouldn't have said that. Listen, we're going to fail. It's going to happen. But it's not about God. Repentance is not about us constantly apologizing, but it's about God constantly changing our heart. Do you get what I'm saying? God is wanting us and desiring for us to begin to change. Something is going to transform from the way we do things to a new. And his new way is freedom. It is freedom from those bondages and those chains of sin. And so God is desiring to break that off of us. And so, yes, that is, it is a cry of repentance. It's saying, God, I don't have the power within me to change, but I trust you because you have the power to change me from the inside out, God, to make me from a sinful man to a righteous man before you. And see, this is God's will for our lives. It's not that we continually repent. And continually repent. We continually apologize and say, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. That is not what God's called us to be. But he has called us to be changed from the inside. That's what repentance is. It's a transformation. Something is changing. Something we had before, we did before, we transformed into something God. And God is constantly doing that. So why in the Lord's Prayer, if Jesus said this is important to pray this, if forgiveness is so important to put it in the Lord's Prayer, if he talked to his disciples about it, I think it's important for us to begin to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. See, and it's not about apologizing. It's not about just trying to things right. It's not about just making sure that I'm going to stay right before God and then I can go to heaven and all that. But God is desiring for us to live a life of repentance, one that just says, God, I love you. And so here's what it looks like. When you get into God's presence, when you get into God's presence, you realize that He is a holy God. He is so holy. And when you get close to Him, you realize how unholy you are and how much you need Him. But it's not to make you feel condemned or make you feel pressed down, but it's to say, God, wash over me. Wash my mind. Cleanse my heart. Make me whole. Cleanse me from the inside out. Wash me with your word. Cause me to become right before you. It is constant cry of repentance. It is a constant cry. But God says that to live in Him, we must die. We must die to our flesh. That's God's desire. It's a repentant heart. It's not about constantly apologizing, but it's about a constant transformation. It's not about getting right with God, but it's about God making us right. It's not about getting right with God, but it's about God making us right. The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We become right because of Jesus. We don't become right because we beg. We don't become right because we plead on the behalf of our needs to be healed, to be set free. But we are healed because God changes us because of His grace and power. It causes us to become something that we weren't before. And yes, that is a diving into Him in repentance. God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. We are transformed through Jesus Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. God has transformed our lives through Jesus Christ. How many know that you are transformed through Jesus Christ by the power of the blood, by the power of the cross? It is a transformation. God is working in us to transform us, to renew us, to making us new. See, it's not a one-day event and it's said and done. It is a lifetime of repentance, a lifetime of God transforming us from the inside out. God is renewing us and transforming us and making us new. He is constantly changing us. So we must live a repentant life. We must live a repentant life. There's just something about His holy presence. Now, many of you guys, you know what it's like to be in God's presence, right? And you felt the weight of His glory. Now, there's this place that we attend. We would go to vacation. And there's this place that there's this giant waterfall. And this past summer when we were vacation, the waterfall was gushing. It had just rained like days before. And the waterfall was coming down like you wouldn't believe. This water was just, it was so loud. You could hear it from a long distance away. You could hear this waterfall. It was probably 120 feet high. It was really high waterfall, just crashing down, big water. And so we make our way back there to go check its waterfall out. We always do this every year. And at the base of the waterfall where it hits, there's this giant pool where the water has gouged out the earth. And I love to get under. I get right up under there. I get right under the water, and the water's just hitting me. You know, and you can feel the weight of it. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, like a heavy water, the waterfall just really almost like trying to knock you. You almost try to even stay above water. It's impossible. You're hanging on. And I just remember I was like, I'm going to try to climb up, and I try to climb. Water's just hitting me. It's the weight of that heavy water, and water is powerful and is moving. I believe in a lot of ways God's presence is like that. He is so holy. When we get into His presence, the weight of His glory becomes, and it's almost so much that we can't even stand it. We can't even get past the weight of it or what it is. And David described it a lot like, you know, he said, God, you are so holy, and I'm such a man that is undone. I'm a sinful man. And when he got into the presence of God, he was like, God, I'm such a sinful man. And so because we understand the weight and the power of God's glory, when we come under His power, when we come under His conviction, that we have to respond. You have to respond to God. Respond to Him. I want to challenge you with this. When you are praying, when you are in the middle of prayer, when you're praying to God and God begins to convict you, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you about some things. He says, I want to talk to you about this. It's time to respond to Him. I want you to respond quickly to God and say, God, forgive me. God, cleanse me from that. Wash me with your heal me, make me whole, make me new. And I'm telling you, when you begin to learn to be a person who is a repentant lifestyle, who lives a lifestyle of repentance, you will have the revival of God in your life. The revival fire of God in your life will burn when you become a person who is a repentant heart. If you want revival firing up, it's time to say, God, I want to be more pure, more holy, more like you. Cleanse me, wash me, heal me. So we must live a repentant lifestyle. The second thing is we must be quick to forgive others. Must be quick to forgive others. Write that down. You must be quick to forgive others. Right after the Lord's Prayer, there's two scriptures, and I want to read both of them. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions," now this is Jesus speaking. He said, "If you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." You forgive, he will forgive. If you hold a grudge, he will not forgive you. Listen, the forgiveness of God has to flow out of you. You have to be a person that forgives. You can't hold things against others. You can't hold the grudge. You can't let the lie of the enemy continue to hold you down, but you must forgive others. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and verse 24. Matthew 5, 23, 24. It says, "So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar of the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there to the altar and go and be reconciled with that person. Then come offer your sacrifice to God." What is God saying here? He said it's so important. You want to come to church and you want to, oh, hallelujah to the Lord, and I'm giving my sacrifice of praise and I'm giving my time to Jesus, but you got a heart that's against your brother or against your sister, or you've got anger or bitterness or malice against someone else, and you're holding that in. I'm telling you, God says, you need to stop what you're doing right now and forgive them. Listen, I believe that there's some people in your life and in my life that God desires for us to forgive. He's saying, you know what, I want to move further in your life, but it's time for you to forgive someone. If you be forgiven of your sins, we must give. We must forgive. Do not expect God to answer your prayers when you haven't forgiven. Do not expect God to answer your prayers when you haven't forgiven others. Jesus clearly said, my Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you if you do not forgive others. Listen, this is important. If you want your prayer life to increase and you want to begin to pray to God and you want effective prayer and you want your prayer to move up to the next level, you must be a person who forgives. You have to repent and you have to forgive. Repent and forgive. If you continue to hold things, somebody said that against me, and I can't believe she did that, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm not ever going to let that go. I can't believe what somebody said. I can't believe what they posted on here. I can't believe that she didn't call me. I'm just mad. I'm just going to be mad. I'm telling you, when you begin to hold those things in, God is holding back from you. God is holding back from you. We must forgive. We must be a people who forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sinned against us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. See, the scripture is very clear. It says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven." The forgiven part is first. When you forgive, you can be forgiven. This is what the Word is telling us. We have to be a people who forgive, who release things. Man, if you hold on to grudges, I know there's a lot of, we hold on to things. You get offended and you just want to hold on to that. And I'm telling you, when you hold on to that, you stop the flow of God in your life. Your prayers are not answered because God says, you cannot forgive. I'm not going to forgive you. You must forgive. We have to be a people who forgive. We have to be forgiven. Just forgive with our mouths, but it's when our heart has to change. Why don't you close your eyes for a moment? Stand with me if you don't mind. There's a passage in the scriptures where there were two people, two men in this story. One man owed another man a great debt. It was millions. It was a giant amount of money. And he was forgiven of that debt. But then as soon as he was forgiven of that debt, he went out and found somebody that owed him $40. And he condemned them and said, "You got to go to prison. I can't believe you got to pay me right now or you're going to prison." Well, the king heard about that and said, wait a minute, I forgave you so much, and you didn't forgive that little debt? And it literally says that he took him to be beaten, and he was going to have to pay that full debt. He's got to give his life for that debt. Listen, God's calling us to be a people who forgive. Close your eyes. You're in this room tonight. Be still and be quiet. You're in this room tonight. And you know what it's like to hold a grudge. And you hold some things in against people. And even while I was speaking, the Holy Spirit was speaking to you and say, you need to forgive. And maybe there's some things that happened to you. Maybe there's even people that have hurt you that have gone on, and you know, and they're even not on this planet anymore. They're gone and dead and gone. I'm telling you, there is still a place of repentance and forgiveness. God, I forgive them for what they said, for what they did, for how they spoke to me, and forgive. And for some of you, you need to be that person who you did them wrong, and you need to go to them and say, God, ask them to forgive you. Forgive me. What I said, for how I acted, for what the thing that I did to you. And God is speaking to you. I'm telling you, man, there is a release that God's moving on your mind right now. There's some people, there's some things you got to do. If you want your prayers answered, if you want to increase in your prayer life, you must be a people who forgive and who walk in repentance. We got to be a people who walk in repentance. God, forgive me. It's not just a daily thing. Well, I'm going to get forgiveness for my sins, for this, for that, for the other. But God, I want to be changed by you. You're in the room tonight, and that's you. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I know what it's like to hold a grudge. I know what it's like to hold things in. And there may be even some people that I need to forgive, or I need to ask forgiveness for. If that's you, lift your hand, all of us. I want to pray with you tonight. Let's pray this. God, I thank you that you reveal in your word to us, God, the truth about who we are and about who Jesus is. And I thank you, God, that when you reveal to us, when we respond to your word, that there's healing that flows. And so I pray right now, God, that these hearts would become repentant hearts. And God, that these lives, God, will become free, Lord, as they forgive. God, and I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak even through the night, God, to some of our hearts and our minds, and remind us of some of the things that maybe we need to ask forgiveness for from others, God. And we need to go to them, and we need to share with them our hearts, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, begin to show us so that we can close the door to the enemy in that area of our lives. So, Jesus, I thank you that you've given us this chance, Lord, to be free. And I speak healing over every mind. And I speak, Lord, there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that today, tonight, God, that they will not feel condemned for what's been done, God, but you will transform them by the renewing of their minds and by healing their hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your word. Let it change our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.